Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is a Monday morning, April 22nd, 2024, and I am sitting behind the wheel of the old F-250 as we head to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to handle the people's business today. Yes, my friends, it has been one heck of a weekend. I was thinking this weekend, God above gave us 10 commandments. Old Testament stuff, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not make false idols, thou shalt not covet thy wife's ox or her ass, no matter how nice her ass might look. And we're talking about the family donkey, of course, because coveting one's wife would include all of her anatomical parts, right? All of those other commandments, 10 in total. Pretty simple stuff. In the United States of America, however, our politicians think that they are thousands of times better than God above. What do you mean, Steve Z? Well, what I mean is we have made hundreds of thousands of individual laws. They all center around the same 10. Thou shalt not steal pretty much covered anything that someone takes that doesn't belong to them. But in the USA, we've made laws that make it a little less bad if a cop steals something from a criminal's car while trying to plant the drugs on the criminal, for example. Just saying. It's okay to murder somebody, even though the Bible says thou shalt not kill, but it's okay to murder somebody if your president, for example, says, I don't like the way the leader of some foreign country cuts his hair, and I don't like the fact that they still have gasoline cars on the road, so let's start a war with them and go kill millions at one time. Thank you. That seems to be perfectly fine and normal. That killing is condoned by some law that gives one person, the President of the United States, the power to simply pull the trigger and allow young people to murder. Now, we have laws that say it is a crime for an 18-year-old to steal a car, more so than for a 17-year-old to steal a car. So we make separate laws for the 17s and the 18s, even though it's all covered under thou shalt not steal, remember? But that same 18-year-old is not allowed to buy a beer, smoke a cigarette, or now, in many states, lawfully own a firearm. Unless you refer back to the first law that says we can demand an 18-year-old join the military, give him a gun, and send him out to murder people. Kind of senseless, isn't it, when you think about it in the long scheme of things? This is the Truth Hurts program. So moving right along, it is Monday, and I am really sorry I'm not in Studio 63 today, but instead I'm driving down the highway because I can't put together my latest commercial parody, but I think you're going to like it. It involves an organization in the great state of Alabama who is trying to get people to not vote for Donald Trump because they've made up this fairy tale that the cops are going to pull you over if you're a young woman and you might be of childbearing age and ask you, are you going in your car right now to have an abortion? Are you going somewhere to murder your baby at the one or two abortion clinics that still exist in the year 2024? That's where we are, right? 2024. Yep. Just had to make sure I didn't wake up in some dystopian nightmare where baby murder was condoned anytime, anywhere. Oh, your 13-year-old daughter wants to go out and experiment with the square peg and the round hole game? You want to play doctor? You want to get knocked up? And then, because mom and dad don't want to be inconvenienced with being grandparents in their late 20s or early 30s, let's just go out and murder the baby. Or let's say you're a 16, 17-year-old promiscuous little hobag. Can I say hobag? Yes, I can. This is a podcast. We're not on AM or FM. You're a 16-year-old little hobag, and you like to put it out for all the guys because you found out the guys like your body, but her face. Ugh. But you're getting the attention because you'll spread them legs for any old boy that walks by. And this might be your fourth, fifth, sixth pregnancy. Who cares? You can take a pill, abort the baby. You can go to the doctor and have them rip that sucker right out of there. After all, it's nothing more than a tumor, right? To you, until one day it all catches up with you and you realize, oh my God, please forgive me for murdering six or seven babies, or 20, or 30, depending on how many plans B you may have taken, how many morning after pills you may have taken. All right, enough of that. Let's switch gears for a minute. Who do you think should be, could be, would be the vice presidential running mate for the embattled Donald John Trump? That's a question that circled around a couple of gatherings that I attended over the weekend, and I didn't even bring up the topic. I was at the Croatian Festival for the Croatian Society, and someone mentioned the presidential race and how nasty it is. And one gentleman who proudly wore, and it's the first time I've ever seen this in a non-election setting, in a non-political setting, he had a pin on his ball cap that said, "Proud supporter of the Democratic Party." So I figured he'd be easy pickings. And he's the guy who started it. He's the guy who jumped up there and started the whole thing. He said, "So who do you think that clown Trump is going to choose as his vice presidential running mate? You think he'll go with Pence again?" And I kept my mouth shut, which is hard for a guy like me to do. You know it. Those of you who know me well, they know it's hard for me to clam up. Another gentleman who was there, who was wearing a red baseball cap, but it didn't say Trump on it, but you get the message. He said, "Well, no, it won't be Pence. Pence is a turncoat Republican in name only. He's only now using his former position as vice president to get him book tours and speaking engagements and some crappy professorship at a never heard of college in some podunk little town." Everyone was offering their ideas. And finally, I said, "Well, my father-in-law thinks that maybe Senator John Kennedy, the outspoken Republican from Louisiana, would be a good choice. After all, he doesn't hold his tongue. He tells it like it is, and he presents his thoughts in a very thought-provoking manner. And he poses questions that no other senator, none of the other senators, we have 100 of them, you know, not another senator has the balls of John Kennedy to ask questions." Another guy says, "But he sounds like some redneck that just got pulled out of a second kitchen drawer, the one you keep the pliers and those scissors Dad uses to clip those giant infected toenails with. And to cut, of course, poop off the dog hair when he drags his butt across the carpet with a dinkle bomb attached." Kind of graphic for a morning, but I figured I'd give you the picture. Another guy says, "Yeah, he sounds like he just came out of the Andy Griffith Show, and I don't like him." And I said, "Well, perhaps John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana, thinks he is too old and is serving the people better by holding the U.S. Senate accountable at every possible turn, and he won't join Donald Trump as a vice presidential running mate. Kennedy is an old guy, not Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's an old guy too, and hey, has trouble speaking, and I'm not picking on him for it. He just has that problem, which is why a lot of Americans are turned off. They think he's just about one foot in the grave. Wait a minute. Joe Biden's one foot in the grave. He's mentally unfit. He's senile. He's an Alzheimer's patient. He is mentally deficient. And yet, they think he's capable of being the president. So why not Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? Not for me. He's not my candidate. I think if something were to happen, however, something horrific, and Biden can't run, and Trump can't run for whatever reasons, there you go. Maybe Robert F. Kennedy Jr. with a John Kennedy of Louisiana Republican vice presidential running mate. Yeah, now that's something to think about, boys and girls. Anyway, but I digress. John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana, does not mind calling out Alejandro Mayorkas, or the queer bait pretending to be a woman at the Department of Health and Human Services, or the quota hire that has been hired to run the Department of Education, or the queer bait fagbag who runs the Department of Transportation. Ooh, Steve, you're being a little rough on the people this morning. It's okay. It's a podcast. I can do that. I'm not on FM. I'm not on AM, at least not yet. This is a podcast. And I know, some of you have told me, when you get a little rough around the edges there, Steve-O, those who will vet you for those AM and FM conservative talk radio common sense talk shows will look back on today's episode and say, oh my gosh, you called gay Mayor Pete a fagbag. Well, I say it out loud, the quiet parts that you people don't say out loud, but you're thinking it. And when you're in little private circles around the kitchen table, prime time for you to speak your mind, you say it. We've got a queer for the Department of Transportation, not because he's qualified, not because he's an engineer, not because he has any experience whatsoever in infrastructure, but simply because he likes to, let's just say, put fudge in places that it doesn't belong. He's a gay man who adopted a kid so that he could pretend to know what it's like to be a mother. Oh, he's a mother, all right. We just can't say that part, even on this program. Then we have to put the explicit label on it, and it goes through much, much more scrutiny before it makes the podcasting airwaves. We've got a gay man for the Department of Transportation. We've got a figurehead puppet running the Department of Health and Human Services, but the out front spokeswoman person, man, it, is a failed male who pretends to be a woman, who dresses up in a Navy woman's admiral's uniform, a dude named Richard Levine, who failed at being a man, failed at satisfying his own wife, although he did manage to supposedly knock her up, if those are indeed his kids, a couple of times. And now he pretends to be a transgender, even though he will never admit that he is cut off the beans and franks, because, you know, one day he might decide he wants to try being a man again. Right now he's just a mannequin dressed up in a female admiral's uniform. Another quota hire, by the way, by the Biden administration. If you don't hire me, a transgender woman, then you're not diverse, Mr. Biden. So a queer in charge of transportation, a queer basically in charge of the Health and Human Services Department, the department who is in charge of making sure that processes, programs, procedures, and medical things related to mental health and physical health are taken care of. Here's a guy who doesn't even know he's a man. He has a mental illness that makes him think he can be a woman by putting his man titties in a bra, putting on a woman's dress and some makeup, and letting his hair grow long. He's a dude. So let's flip on over to, well, let's just talk about the White House spokesperson, French Dip, the quota hire, Karine Jean-Pierre, a woman who is called on the air in Nashville, Tennessee by the morning talk show host Buckwheat because of her crazy, wild, Natcha Africa hair. We also have people like Alejandro Alejandro Mayorkas, despite impeached by the House and not impeached by the Senate. And everyone's saying, Alejandro Mayorkas wasn't impeached. The Senate said no, so he's good. Excuse me. Those same people are saying Donald Trump was impeached not once but twice, and he thinks he's qualified to be the president. Double standard on the Democratic Party side once again. You know the rules. Rules for the Dems do not apply to the Republicans. Rules against Republicans don't apply if the Democrats do the exact same things. Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, the largest agency in the federal government, the guy in charge with securing the southern border with Mexico, the guy in charge of the Border Patrol, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Customs and Border Protection, Homeland Security, the guy who runs FEMA, the guy who runs Homeland Security, once served on the board of directors of the very organization in Mexico where we found flyers last week saying, "Welcome to the United States of America. Do not forget to vote for President Joe Biden when you get into the states. Otherwise, our organization won't be able to help you guys get into the states anymore." Alejandro Mayorkas used to sit on the board of directors of that organization. He was a quota hire because he has the last name of a Hispanic, Alejandro Mayorkas. Another quota hire in the Biden administration. We have the Secretary of the Department of Education, a quota hire Hispanic. Just about everyone in the Biden administration, handpicked by Obama staffers, because that's who's running the country. Not Joe Biden, but Barack Hussein Obama. From an office not too far away, it is Obama who is calling the shots. Excuse me. But you see, half of the country is too stupid to see these things, and another large portion of the country is too blind to realize that that's what's actually happening. So we have a stupid 50% of the population who vote Democrat no matter what. They don't look at issues. They don't look at what is happening to their nation. They just have a D loyalty, Democrat loyalty, no matter what, blindly. The Democrats tomorrow get together and say, "We're voting against this because Donald Trump supported it." Not a single Democrat will think about how good that process, program, or procedure, law, bill, regulation, rule, ordinance might be for the country, for the people. As long as their Democratic leaders, Barack Hussein Obama, Chuckles the Clown Schumer, and no matter who they put in charge over there in the House, it's still naughty, nasty, Nazi Nancy Pelosi and her boy, Hakeem Jeffries. That's who runs the show. They'll vote for or against something because their leaders tell them to, blindly, without thinking, without considering at all. Because thinking is not allowed in socialism, in communism, in Bidenism, in the Democratic political party. You either vote the way the Democrat leadership tells you to, or they're going to find a way to get you out of there. You lose your wealth. You lose your power. You lose your political position. You lose your appearance and your image. Follow the leader or you're out of here. At least when you look at the Republican Party and you see some divisiveness, depending on which part of America you live in, the pronunciation of that word, when you see some moron like Marjorie Taylor Greene out there voting against assistance for Israel, claiming that it's America last when it's not, it's helping our ally Israel, helping us to keep a military position in the Middle East where we need a military position. At least a Republican or two has the guts to say, "Wait a minute, I want to go against the grain here because I, for my district that I represent, don't necessarily agree with what you are trying to vote into law here. Excuse me. They don't just lock, stock, and barrel make a decision to vote one way or another because their leader tells them to. But America doesn't see it that way. America lets the news media, the mainstream, leftist, progressive, liberal, woke, slimeball, lying, Democrat, socialist, communist-supporting news media tell them how to think. Because they repeat the lies over and over and over again. And when you repeat the lie often enough, people will start to believe the lies. Even on Fox News, on their website this past weekend, I saw an article entitled "January 6th Insurrectionists May Have Gotten a Break from the U.S. Supreme Court." Are you effing kidding me? There were no insurrectionists. No one's been convicted of insurrection. A few have been convicted of damage to property or entering an area they're not supposed to, or trespassing, or something along those lines. But because the rest of the mainstream media has been calling these peaceful protesters insurrectionists for the last 4 years, 3 years, whatever it is, even Fox, a supposedly conservative-leaning media outlet, made the mistake of labeling them as such, as insurrectionists in the headline of their article. And throughout the body of the article, the U.S. Supreme Court made a ruling that might be favorable to some of the defendants who have been wrongfully accused of insurrection and are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. But that's not how the media has been framing it. The media, in their never-ending scheme to keep Donald Trump's name in negative light on every possible news and information outlet, keeps calling anyone who happened to be in Washington, D.C. and not voting to secure Joe Biden's supposed election is now labeled as an insurrectionist. If I had gone to the Smithsonian Institution the day of January 6th, 2021, and happened to be wearing a Trump hat or shirt, I would have been arrested and labeled as an insurrectionist, even if I was nowhere near the Capitol, even if I was across town at the Ellipse, listening to the President of the United States, who was the president at the time, Donald John Trump, giving a very peaceful speech, saying, "Look, I know a lot of you are going to want to go down there to the Capitol. I know a lot of you are going to want to go down there, but please remain peaceful. Please be peaceful. Love one another." That's what was happening on January 6th at the Ellipse. There was no call for violence by Donald Trump. There was no call for insurrection or sedition. There was no call by Donald Trump or any of his people for destruction, for damage to property, for assault, for battery. And as you all know, only one person died on January 6th, 2021, at the U.S. Capitol. And that one person was the young woman, the Air Force veteran, who was shot dead in cold blood by a racist African-American cowardly Capitol police officer who shot the unarmed woman, Ashley Babbitt, dead in a hate crime murder at the U.S. Capitol. And not only was he not punished for it, he was rewarded with a promotion. And from what I was told last week, allowed to retire with his salary and benefits as a hero. He murdered an innocent, unarmed U.S. Air Force female veteran. Here's my question. Where's the uproar from the women's movement? Where's the uproar from the so-called white supremacist racists, the white people. A black cop killed a white woman in cold blood, for God's sake. On the very floor of the United States House of Representatives, in our Congress, murdered her in cold blood. Hailed a hero. Why? How? Because the mainstream leftist, progressive, liberal, woke news media says that's the way they want the story told. The Democrats told the mainstream leftist, progressive, liberal, woke, lying news media that's the way they want the story told, and that's the way the story has been told. I have a question for you. How come there are no murals of Ashley Babbitt on the walls of convenience stores praising her as a hero? She didn't break a window. She didn't force her way into the Capitol. She didn't even have a cell phone in her hand, and she was murdered by a black cop. George Floyd was slinging counterfeit $20 bills, high on fentanyl and God knows what other drugs, drunk, fat, slovenly bastard with a criminal record as long as Shaquille's arm. And he has statues and memorials and murals. Hell, they'll probably name an elementary school after him on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard someday in the future, after years or decades of George Floyd, the criminal, being changed so that people in the African American 13% hyphenated American minority community will think some kind of way he was the second or third or fourth coming of their Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ. Speaking of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, over the weekend in New Orleans, a double murder. Two black men was murdered allegedly by two other black men on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, Memorial Boulevard. Oh, Martin Luther King Jr. is turning over in his grave right now. They named the street after him in many Democrat-controlled inner cities of the United States of America. Pretty much you go to any city in the USA, especially those run by Democrats, you'll find a Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard or a Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Drive. And in just about every single instance where his name appears on a street sign, that is the area of town where you find the very most violence, the very most anti-white racism, the most rapes, murders, carjackings, drug deals, robberies, assaults, batteries, shootings, stabbings. They always seem to happen on Martin Luther King Boulevard. Well, my friends, it's just like Joe Biden and Bidenomics. He named the very worst economic process, program, and procedure in the past 41 years after himself. I guess the Democrats just don't get it. Every time they name something after themselves, the truth comes out in death, in destruction. Bidenomics is a joke. Biden's inflation roaring ahead once again, up to 3.5% last month. Compound that on top of the over 20% inflation he has brought forth with Bidenomics. And yet he's still proud of the economic program that bears his name. All right, gang, it looks like we've run out of time for this Monday edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go out there and make it a great day. And we'll certainly try to see you on the very next program. This program is pre-recorded. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network. All rights reserved. Background music, Jason Shaw and Audionautics.